Sahanavavatu, sahanau bhunaktu, sahavidyan karavavahai, tejasvinavadhitamastu ma vidvishavahai. Om shanti, shanti, shanti. Om, om.
Turn the microphone up just a little bit.
Good. Nice to see you all this morning. We begin our study of chapter 5 today, and we'll begin, as always, with some recitation. As you listen to me chant, please glance at the meaning so that when you recite after me, you have the meaning clearly in your mind. Chapter 5, Sannyasa Yoga. I'll explain the significance of its title in just a moment. Repeat after me. Ajna Vacha, Ajna Vacha, Sannyasam Karmanam Krishna, Sannyasam Karmanam Krishna, Puna. It looks like it's not chapter 5. Do you have chapter 4 accidentally? We have all this new setup, so we're still getting used to it. Previously, I was running the PowerPoints that you see from the console here. Now that at the console here, I'm running the video recording. So for that reason, we now are separately running the PowerPoint, and we have some confusion there. Do we have the right file?
Sorry.
Is it right? Okay. We'll try that again. Ajnavacha, Ajnavacha, Sannyasam Karmanam Krishna, Sannyasam Karmanam Krishna, Punar Yogam Chasam Shasi, Punar Yogam Chasam Shas, Yachreya Heta Yor Hekam, Yachreya Heta Yor Hekam, Tanme Bruhi Sunishchitam, Tanme Bruhi Sunishchitam, Shri Bhagavanu Vacha, Shri Bhagavanu Vacha, Sannyasa Karma Yogascha, Sannyasa Karma Yogascha, Nishreya Sakaravu Bhau, Nishreya Sakaravu Bhau, Tayostu Karma Sannyasat, Tayostu Karma Sannyasat, Karma Yogo Vishishyate, Karma Yogo Vishishyate, Nyeya Sakarma Sannyasi, Nyeya Sakarma Sannyasi, Yo na dveshti na kangshati, Yo na dveshti na kangshati, Nirdvandvo hi mahabaho, Nirdvandvo hi mahabaho, Sukham bandhat pramuchyate, Sukham bandhat pramuchyate, Sankhya yogau pratak balaha, Sankhya yogau pratak balaha, Pravadanti na panditaha, Pravadanti na panditaha, Ekam apyastita samyaka, Ekam apyastita samyaka, Ubhayor vindate palam, Ubhayor vindate palam, Yat sankhyai prapyate sthanam, Yat sankhyai prapyate sthanam, Tad yogarapi gamyate, Tad yogarapi gamyate, Ekam Sankhyam Cha Yogam Cha. Ekam Sankhyam Cha Yogam Cha. Yah Pashyati Sa Pashyati. Yah Pashyati Sa Pashyati. Sanyasastu Mahabaho. Sanyasastu Mahabaho. Dukamaptum Ayogataha. Dukamaptum Ayogataha. Yoga Yukto Munir Brahma. Yoga Yukto Munir Brahma. Nachirenadhi Gacchati. Nachirenadhi Gacchati. Very good. So, it's always very pleasing to start a new chapter. We're making good progress in our study of the Bhagavad Gita, not that we're in a hurry. So if you rush and finish to the end of the Bhagavad Gita, do you get an award? So our purpose is not to get quickly to the end of the Bhagavad Gita. Our purpose is to assimilate these teachings. And in all honesty, taking our time really helps us to assimilate these teachings. So this chapter introduces sannyasa, and it can be, sannyasa means renunciation. And in, you know, for many Hindus, sannyasa simply means a sannyasi is one who has taken sannyasa renunciation as a ritual. So as a ritual, actually in my case in 1993, I underwent some rituals in which I was ordained by my guru, Pujya Swami Dayananda. That's just one meaning of sannyasa. There are actually, you'd be surprised, there are five meanings of sannyasa that are important in this chapter. And the best way to begin this chapter is to identify those five meanings first, and then we'll move on, and then we'll go through the chapter. If we identify these five meanings, this chapter becomes really, really clear and very powerful. So let's take a moment and identify those five. And we do that by going to the board. All right. Okay. And this is all, make sure I'm on the board, on the video here. Notice the spelling. This is actually a more traditional spelling. In Sanskrit, we have, I don't want to give a Sanskrit lesson this morning. We can break this down into its component parts. I'm not going to do that here. So the word sannyasa means renunciation. For our Sanskrit students, it has a prefix sum, completely, the prefix ni, certainly, and the root us, to throw. And so it means to throw away completely and with certainty, and the basic meaning is indeed renunciation, is the best meaning for this word. But now we want to see five different kinds of sannyasa, and to make this more meaningful, we can define it as not just sannyasa, I don't have room here, but karma sannyasa. When you say renunciation, renunciation of what? Here we're not talking about renunciation of going to, well, let me just say, specifically, renunciation of karma is the topic of this chapter, renunciation of karma. And renunciation of karma now, we can see in five different ways. And the most obvious renunciation of karma is not to do anything. Complete inactivity, complete inaction is an obvious meaning of sannyasa, of karma sannyasa. Just to sit in a chair and don't do anything, of course, that's not a spiritual practice, But that is certainly a meaning for karma sannyasa. So we'll say the first is inaction, is the first of these meanings. The second I've already talked about, and that is sannyasa as a lifestyle, the lifestyle of a monk. And it is best understood as a lifestyle. We're going to talk quite a bit more about this in just a few moments. The third kind of sannyasa we've already talked about in our study of karma yoga. When we said that spiritual life begins with your recognition that no amount of worldly action, karma, no amount of worldly action will lead you to perfect peace and contentment. That recognition brings about a radical change in your orientation. That radical change of orientation, when you recognize the impossibility of gaining perfect peace and contentment through karma, through worldly action, that shift of perspective is a kind of sannyasa, is it not? It's a kind of renunciation. You're now renouncing, let's say, I'll use the word surrender, actually I'll use the word renounce. So to renounce, we'll say worldly efforts, worldly efforts, and specifically you're renouncing worldly efforts to gain perfect peace and contentment. And to look at it positively, you're shifting your attention away from worldly activities and towards spiritual growth. In that change of attitude, there's renunciation involved. You are renouncing the single-minded focus on worldly activities, which is common. This is common life. Commonly, people are focused exclusively on these worldly efforts. So the third kind of renunciation is renunciation of being focused on worldly efforts for the sake of gaining perfect peace and contentment. There's another kind of renunciation we discussed in the context of karma yoga, and that was when you recognize, in fact, our discussion of karma yoga began with this observation in chapter 2, verse 47, that very famous verse, karmanye vadikaraste. And in that verse, we saw that you are the author of your actions. You are not the author of the results of your actions. Most of the time, we take ourselves as being normal human beings engaged in producing various results. For example, a result could be coming here to the ashram. A result could be preparing a nice meal. Well, in fact, you're not the author of coming to the ashram or of cooking a meal. You're the author of the effort. You got into your car and you drove. That doesn't guarantee that you'll arrive here. If you run out of gas or have an accident, you wouldn't arrive here. The point is, you are in control or in charge of your actions. You are not in charge of the results. Ishvara, as we discussed at great length, through the laws of the universe, Ishvara is the karma phala data. Remember that expression? The giver of the fruits of your deeds. This recognition that you are not in charge of the results, the results are in Ishvara's hands, not your hands, is another kind of renunciation. It's a renunciation of you being in charge of the results. We'll make that shorthand, and we'll just say it's renunciation, renounce, results. Kind of shorthand. So that's another kind of renunciation, completely different. Each of these meanings are different, and you'll recognize these two, renouncing worldly efforts for the sake of perfect contentment, renouncing this idea that you are the author of the results. These two kinds of renunciation are part of what we called karma yoga. So we're calling them renunciation. I'm sorry, we call them karma yoga, but in fact, they're forms of renunciation. Then we come to the fifth, which Sri Krishna hinted at in the end of chapter 4, and we're going to take up as a main topic in chapter 5. And that is this fifth kind of renunciation is when you recognize you are not this body, you are not this mind. It's your body and mind engaged in action, right? Well, if you're not your body and you're not your mind and your body and mind are engaged in action, the implication is you, the one independent of your body and mind, you are not engaged in action. Specifically, your true nature as pure consciousness, your true nature as Satchidananda Atma, that consciousness doesn't do anything. Body and mind are engaged in action, but consciousness itself is not an agent of action. So to recognize your true nature as Atma, which is a non-doer of action, is a fifth kind of renunciation. You renounce the sense that I do things. That false notion is renounced in this fifth kind of renunciation. So here's a major distinction. First of all, we can break these up before we proceed in the class. Can we separate off inaction as something we're not particularly interested in discussing? But watch this. We can say that these, to live the life of a monk or to renounce worldly efforts, by the way, do you see a similarity between these two? Why does someone become a monk? Because they've recognized that worldly efforts will never result in perfect peace and contentment. So these are deeply connected in terms of understanding. They're different in terms of lifestyle. We have the lifestyle of the monk, the lifestyle of a karma yogi. We're going to talk about this further. So to live the life of a monk, to live the life of a karma yogi who is renouncing worldly efforts, to be a karma yogi who recognizes that you are not the author of the results, results are in Ishvara's hands, all of these are forms of sadhana, spiritual practice. And the goal of this spiritual practice is enlightenment, which is the discovery of your true nature as Atma, to be a non-agent of action, not to be a doer of action. So we've got three kinds of spiritual practice which involve renunciation, which culminate in this fifth kind of renunciation, which is enlightenment, to discover your true nature, Atma, Satchidananda, to be not an agent of action. So this is the overview of chapter 5. And this is really helpful to understand this, because right in the first two verses, we're going to see a very common confusion that takes place when we fail to use words carefully and understanding the meaning of those words. Let me show you how. Okay, rather lengthy introduction, but I think absolutely worth the effort. Let's come back to the verses. Repeat after me again. Ajnuvacha, Ajnuvacha, sannyasam karmanam krishna, sannyasam karmanam krishna punar yogam cha samshasi punar yogam cha samshasi yat shreya hetayor hekam yat shreya hekayor hekam tanme bruhi sunishchitam tanme bruhi sunishchitam. So Arjuna begins this chapter with a question. Many chapters, as you've probably noticed, many but not all chapters begin with a question from Arjuna. That's the whole setting, the dialogue between Arjuna and Sri Krishna on the battlefield. Here he begins this question, Krishna, O Krishna, sannyasam karmanam, sannyasam, renunciation. Renunciation of what? Karmanam, renunciation of action. And in the second line, then, shamsasi, you praise renunciation of action in the prior chapter, in chapter 4, punaha, punar, yogam cha, and again, punar, and again, cha, you praise yoga, yoga here meaning karma yoga. So Arjuna is confused because to Arjuna, Arjuna heard Sri Krishna first praising sannyasa, renunciation, and then praising karma yoga. And this actually goes, he in chapter 3, he had a similar question, and this doubt goes all the way back to chapter 2, where Sri Krishna described people who were focused exclusively on spiritual growth, people who were sannyasis. And this goes back just to understand the distinction here. So Arjuna, when Arjuna uses the word sannyasa, let me back up. When Sri Krishna used the word sannyasa at the end of chapter 4, he was using it in the fifth meaning here. So Sri Krishna talked about one who has renounced all actions, and renounced all actions in the sense of one who had become enlightened, one who had recognized their true nature as pure consciousness, which is not engaged in action. So that's the sense that Sri Krishna used the word sannyasa at the end of chapter 4, but Arjuna took the word sannyasa in a different sense. He took it as the second meaning, the meaning of a Hindu monk. So now we have the same word, sannyasa, understood by Krishna in this fifth sense, understood by Arjuna in the second sense. This, just a side comment, when people are in discussions and they get confused or even get into arguments, sometimes the reason for the confusion and argument is that the two people are using words differently. This happens a lot. And one thing my guru, Pooja Swamiji, was very intent on is making sure that any words we use have to be fully and completely understood, unambiguously understood. For that reason, there were many words he never used. He never used the word, those of you who knew him, he never used the word soul, ever. Why? Ambiguous. He also avoided using the word supreme. Now, you might wonder, supreme seems like a very good word. So someone asked him, Swamiji, why don't you use the word supreme? And he explained, you know, you can go to the filling station, gasoline station, and get supreme gasoline. So if the word supreme can be used for gasoline, perhaps we shouldn't be using it in Vedanta. This was his thinking. So he was very insistent that any words we use, we're very careful about their meaning. So you can see here, we have confusion about the word sannyasa, which is hardly surprising if we have five different meanings. So Sri Krishna meant sannyasa in the sense of recognizing your true nature as not being an agent of action. Arjuna is thinking about sannyasa in terms of being a Hindu monk, a sannyasi. So Arjuna, with that in mind, he asks, yat shreyaha etayoho ekam, ekam, that one, etayoho, of the two. So the, of the two means sannyasa and karma yoga. So etayoho, of those two, karma yoga and sannyasa, ekam, that one, yat shreyas, that which is best. The one of those two that is best, tan me, tat, that, me, unto me, bruhi, tell me. Tell me that one of the two which is best, sunishchitam, tell me that very clearly, which is best. Is sannyasa best? And Arjuna's thinking sannyasa. Oh, let me come back here. Arjuna's thinking sannyasa in terms of life as a monk. And so is life as a monk better, or is it better to live life of karma yoga? And you can kind of guess at Arjuna's thinking at this point. Arjuna is still looking for an excuse not to fight the battle, right? Remember, the Bhagavad Gita opened with his incredible distress when he recognized that among his enemies were many of his friends, family members, and even teachers. And Arjuna, remember, we called it a panic attack. There on the battlefield, he was so upset. And so ever since that point, Arjuna is hoping to find some justification to leave the battlefield and perhaps take up life as a sannyasi. So Arjuna has this in mind when he asks this question. We'll see Sri Krishna's response. Shri Bhagavan Uvacha, Shri Bhagavan Uvacha, Sannyasa Karma Yogascha, Sannyasa Karma Yogascha, Nishreyasa Karavubhau, Nishreyasa Karavubhau, Tayostu Karma Sannyasat, Tayostu Karma Sannyasat, Karma Yogo Visheshyate, Karma Yogo Visheshyate. So, Sri Krishna responds directly to Arjuna's question. Sannyasaha, one option. Karma Yogaha Cha, and Karma Yoga, the second option. Nishreyasa Karau Ubhau. You have to break the words apart. Ubhau, both. Both of them are nishreyasa karao. Both of them lead to the highest goal. Both of them lead to moksha. And here, Sri Krishna is responding to Arjuna's assumption that he meant sannyasa as a lifestyle. So Sri Krishna picked up immediately on Arjuna's confusion. And Sri Krishna is now referring to sannyasa in the second sense. So sannyasa in the sense of living a life of a sannyasi, a Hindu monk, and karma yoga, he says, both of them lead to the ultimate goal, liberation, enlightenment. Tayoho two, but tayoho, between the two of them, karma yoga and sannyasa, he says, karma sannyasat, as compared to karma sannyasa means renunciation of action in a ritualistic sense, taking to a life of a monk. So he says, karma sannyasat, compared to taking to the life of a Hindu monk, Sri Krishna says, karma yoga havishishyate, karma yoga is better than taking to the life of a monk. Now, be very careful here not to misunderstand Sri Krishna, because a teacher, when replying to a question, a teacher replies to the person asking the question. You don't reply just to the question, you reply to the questioner. So Sri Krishna understood Arjuna, first of all, to be using sannyasa in terms of lifestyle. Sri Krishna also knew that for Arjuna, sannyasa was not an option. We discussed this long ago. Remember, sannyasa means leaving all your responsibilities behind. For Arjuna, that would be a great act of adharma. It would be a great sin if Arjuna walked off that battlefield. The Pandavas would lose the war, and the harm to society would be immeasurable. Sri Krishna understood that well. Arjuna is coming to understand it, but hasn't understood it complete, has not yet understood that completely. So Sri Krishna here, responding specifically to Arjuna. This is not a general teaching. And sometimes we see this mistake made where people will take a statement out of a scripture and hold it up as an absolute truth. And people will say, well, in chapter 5, Sri Krishna says that karma yoga is better than sannyasa. Is that a universal truth? Or is it true for Arjuna and people who are like Arjuna? So here's the point. It's Sri Krishna does not say it as a universal truth. There are some people for whom sannyasa is best, but not for Arjuna. If Arjuna failed to perform his duties, it would cause great harm. Just to illustrate that, very interesting to point out, my guru had one main rule about who he would or would not ordain as a sannyasi. First of all, be very clear, when Pujya Swamiji gave sannyasa, it was not given to praise the person as being so well studied. It's not a certificate of completion or anything. In fact, Pujya Swamiji would give sannyasa even to students who didn't understand much. And there were a few. There were some who just didn't get it. They didn't understand Sanskrit. Maybe they didn't understand English well enough to follow Pujya Swamiji's discourses. There were a handful of his students who really, really didn't get it. Pujya Swamiji still gave them sannyasa. So sannyasa is not a recognition of any kind of accomplishment. What was Pujya Swamiji's criteria? One is it should help the person, but the negative criteria is no one should be harmed if this person takes sannyasa, which means if there is a wife who is dependent on this person, he wouldn't give sannyasa. If there were children who were dependent on this person, he would not give sannyasa. If there were parents who were dependent on this person, he would not give sannyasa. So this is exactly what we're seeing here. Sri Krishna is not encouraging Arjuna to take sannyasa as a lifestyle because it would lead to so much harm. Arjuna leaving the battlefield, the Pandavas losing the war, and great harm resulting. Okay, let's proceed. Nyeya sanitya sannyasi, nyeya sanitya sannyasi, yo na dveshti na kankshati, yo na dveshti na kankshati, nirdvandvo hi mahabaho, nirdvandvo hi mahabaho, sukham bandhat pramuchyate, Sukham bandhat pramuchyate. Saha, saha gneyaha nitya sannyasi. Saha gneyaha, a person should be recognized as being a nitya sannyasi. Nitya means eternal, but you can't take it in the sense of eternal. Many of you would use this word. In fact, you do this. You talk about someone as being a pakka sannyasi. If Sri Krishna spoke Hindi, he may have used that expression. Of course, it's so here. The term nitya has that sense. So he's a solid sannyasi. He's a true sannyasi. Don't take it in the literal sense of eternal. One is a true sannyasi. Who is a true sannyasi? Sri Krishna says, yaha, one who, na dveshti, one who doesn't hate, na kankshati, nor does he have desires, one who has no dveshti and kankshati, sounds like dvesha and raga, raga and dvesha. One who is free from raga and dvesha is a true sannyasi, a pakka sannyasi, one who is nirdvandvaha, nirdvandva, free from this divisiveness of saying that is better than that. So dvandva are these so-called pairs of opposites. So someone who has a strong preference for warm weather, someone has a strong preference for cold weather, dvandva. Someone who has a strong preference for spicy food or for bland food, dvandva. So this nitya sannyasi, this true sannyasi, is free from these pairs. Mahabaho, O mighty armed Arjuna, that person is a nitya sannyasi, a true sannyasi. Notice Sri Krishna did not refer to someone who wears this dress. He's not referring to someone who has taken to sannyasa as a lifestyle. Because there are plenty of sannyasis in India and elsewhere who have plenty of ragas and dveshas and dvandvas. There are, I should just have a quick funny observation. In Rishikesh, where my guru has an ashram, in their ashram they frequently give bhiksha, they give meals to the sannyasis. And many sannyasis have a raga, have a strong desire to receive bhiksha at Swamiji's ashram because the food there is best. So if a sannyasi has a choice between getting bhiksha at the Swami Dayananda ashram or if they can choose getting bhiksha elsewhere, if that sannyasi has raga, as many of them do, they'll go to the Swami Dayananda ashram. You know this very well, that everyone who wears this dress is not necessarily spiritually mature. Sri Krishna, though, is speaking of someone who is so mature that they're free from raga and dvesha. That's no small thing. Because raga, dvesha is what molds conventional life, right? You are compelled to seek after what you want. You are compelled to avoid what you don't want. So that is so fundamental to normal human behavior. To come out of that behavior is a big thing. And how do you get that? What have we been studying? In chapters 2, 3, and 4, karma yoga is the answer to the problem of raga and dvesha. So here, when Sri Krishna says that the person who is free from raga dvesha is a true sannyasi, he's saying that a mature karma yogi is a true sannyasi. How can he say that a mature karma yoga, karma yogi is a true sannyasi. Well, karma yoga is steps, is sannyasa 3 and 4. So a mature karma yogi is one who has ceased pursuing worldly goals, seeking perfect peace and contentment, number 3. Number 4, a mature karma yogi is one who's recognized that the results of their actions are not in their hands, results are in Ishvara's hands. So this mature karma yogi is one who has transcended raga and dvesha. Sri Krishna praises that person as being a nitya sannyasi, as being a true sannyasi. And he says, sukam bandhat pramuchyate. Such a person is pramuchyate, freed, bandhat, from worldly bondage, freed from bondage to a life of suffering. That person becomes freed sukham, easily. That person is easily freed from worldly bondage. That person easily becomes liberated, enlightened, gain moksha, which means through the practice of karma yoga, which is number 3 and number 4, through the practice of karma yoga, you reach the goal, number 5, that state of recognizing that your true nature is Satchidananda Atma, not engaged in action whatsoever. Sri Krishna continues to explain this. Sankhya yoga pratak balaha. Sankhya yoga pratak balaha. Pravadanti na panditaha. Pravadanti na panditaha. Ekam apyastita samyaka. Ekam apyastita samyaka. Ubhayor vindate palam. Ubhayor vindate palam. So here, Sri Krishna, just to introduce this verse, Sri Krishna is directly addressing what he calls a childish argument. And the childish argument is, which lifestyle is best? The lifestyle of a sannyasi, one who has renounced worldly activities and taken to exclusively spiritual life, is that the best lifestyle? Or is the best lifestyle the lifestyle of a karma yogi, one who remains engaged in worldly activities while simultaneously pursuing spiritual growth? We've had this discussion before. We've observed that a sannyasi may or may not be deeply engaged in seeking spiritual growth. There are some sannyasis who, for whatever reason, they become lazy and they spend their time hanging out, gossiping, as I've told you before, and some of them smoking this marijuana and doing other things. So we understand basic principle. Every person is different. Every one of you and me, we're all incredibly different from each other. Well, wouldn't that be true comparing one sannyasi to another? One sannyasi could be a great scholar. Another sannyasi could be not scholarly, but absolutely established in truth. And another sannyasi could be too high on marijuana to care about anything. All of these are possible, so it's helpful to avoid lumping people into the same category. Same amongst non-sannyasis. So there are plenty of called householders who are engaged in climbing the corporate ladder, acquiring more and more goodies for their homes, getting the latest car, getting the latest electronics, etc. But there are plenty of others, including you, who aren't like that. You can have a nice car, you can have a nice home, But that's not your focus in life. It is their focus. Their goal in life is to acquire more and more stuff. And there's a silly bumper sticker. I'm told this is a bumper sticker on a $100,000 mobile home. And the bumper sticker said, "Whoever dies with the most toys wins." What a peculiar philosophy of life. Well, the owner of that big mobile home embraced that philosophy, to acquire as much as you can before you die. That's not an uncommon perspective. On the other hand, you could have so much value for spiritual life that whether or not you have that mobile home, you're okay. You're okay because you're deeply engaged on a path of spiritual growth, and every day and every week, you find yourself growing more mature, more content, less irritable, less affected by raga dvesha. Day by day, week by week, this increases because you continue to stay on that path of spiritual growth. So this is the what Sri Krishna calls it, a childish argument. He says, sannyasa yoga, using a dual form. Here's Sankhya, going back to chapter 2. Those sannyasis who renounce worldly activities and focus only on gaining spiritual growth. And here the word yoga refers to karma yoga. So Sankhya Yoga refers to sannyasis and karma yogis. Both of these, the karma yogis and sannyasis, balaha, children, in the second line, pravadanti, children call them, call karma yogis and sannyasis, children call them pratak, separate. It is a childish attitude that makes this unnecessary distinction between these two lifestyles of karma yoga and sannyasa. Na panditaha, but the wise do not make that incorrect distinction. Wise means to recognize the individual differences between one person and another. For some people, sannyasa is the best lifestyle, but for the vast majority of people, it's not the best lifestyle. So the wise understand that. And Sri Krishna gives justification here. Ekam api astitaha samyak. Astitaha, one who follows. Ekam api, one or the other. One who follows one or the other of these two lifestyles, lifestyle of sannyasa, lifestyle of karma yoga, one who follows either of them samyak, properly, which kind of excludes the sannyasi smoking marijuana. So one who follows either of these two lifestyles properly, vindate, in the last line, vindate gains the palam, the fruits, ubhayoho, of both, or better said, maybe of either. So Sri Krishna concludes here by saying, if you are a pakka sannyasi or a pakka karma yogi, you're in great shape. Absolutely in great shape. You will reach your goal of enlightenment. The contrary is also true. So if you're not a pakka sannyasi, or if you're not a pakka karma yogi, you're going to be stuck. You know, there are plenty of sannyasis who are stuck. They've given, but they're really stuck. Consider this. They've given up worldly pleasures, and they've given up spiritual growth. What's left? So, What can we say? That's what's left. And we're laughing at it. It's no joke. It's a little sad, actually. I've met these people. And since I'm making fun of them, let me put it in better context. I have no doubt that almost every one of those marijuana-smoking sannyasis started out very sincere in their efforts. I believe this strongly. They start off with a deep attraction to spiritual life. They start out really engaged and making an effort in spiritual life. I believe that because they fail to have the guidance of a proper guru, they fall off the path. Without proper guidance, they kind of get misled. There are plenty of ways to go wrong, plenty of mistakes to be made, and they end up in losing sight of their goal. I'm making a joke about them, but it's not funny. It's sad. They started off very sincerely. Because they didn't have proper guidance, they fell off the path. That's nothing to laugh about, even. And I'm catching myself. I shouldn't laugh at them. They're very sincere. That's not a funny thing. It's a sad thing. And it happens quite a bit. So if you are not a Pakka sannyasi, you get in trouble. If you're not a Pakka karma yogi, you end up spending all your time at the mall. Okay, you get the idea. Okay, then. Yat sankhyai prapyate sthanam, yat sankhyai prapyate sthanam, tad yogarapi gamyate, tad yogarapi gamyate, ekam sankhyam cha yogam cha, ekam sankhyam cha yogam cha, sapashyati, 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 sapashyati. And Sri Krishna reiterates what he just said. If he's going to reiterate, he must mean it very strongly. He must feel this is something very important. He says, reiterating what he just taught in the end of the fourth verse, he says here, in the fifth verse, yat sankye yat sthanam. That goal, yatsthanam, that goal which is prapyate, obtained, sankhyaihi, by the practitioners of sankhya, which in this context means sannyasis, those who have taken to the life of sannyasa. So that goal which is gained by sannyasis, tat api gamyate, that also is reached yogaihi, by practitioners of karma yoga. And again, we're referring to the pakka sannyasis and pakka karma yogis. So either lifestyle, if you pursue spiritual growth properly in either lifestyle, you reach your goal. And then Sri Krishna reiterates that. Ekam sankhyam cha yogam cha. He says that sankhya, life as a monk, and yogam, life as a karma yogi, ekam, equivalent. Get the right meaning here. They're not one, they're not identical, but they are equivalent in that they lead to the same goal. Yaha pashyati, someone who understands this, saha pashyati, that person really understands. That person understands correctly. One who understands that pakka sannyasis and pakka karma yogis can both reach the goal of enlightenment, someone who understands that, truly understands correctly. We'll see just one more verse here. Sannyasastu mahabaho, sannyasastu mahabaho, dukamaptuma yogataha, Dukam aptuma yogatah, yoga yukto munir brahma, yoga yukto munir brahma, nachire nadhi gacchati, nachire nadhi gacchati. Sannyasaha tu. That word tu in Sanskrit is like our but in English, and sometimes it's very significant. Mahabaho, O mighty armed Arjuna, tu. But sannyasa, and here we're going to see two different meanings here. Sannyasa is dukkham aptum. It is difficult to gain, difficult to achieve, sannyasa, ayogataha. Yoga here means karma yoga. Yogataha, due to karma yoga. Ayogataha, without the practice of karma yoga. So he says here, sannyasa is very difficult without the practice of karma yoga. Now, we can actually interpret this verse in two completely different ways based on which meaning of sannyasa we use. So first we can take the meaning of monk. He says sannyasa as a lifestyle is difficult to achieve without karma yoga. Do you know, the tradition, you know, many of you know the Chaturashrama system, where you begin life as a brahmachari, as a student, then later you become a grahastha, a householder, later as a vanaprastha, a retired person, and finally sannyasa is held to be the final stage of life. These four stages of life, this was actually prescribed in the Vedas by the ancient rishis. And what it describes is a very natural progression of life. So you begin with your student days, and then your focus shifts to raising a family. And when your family is everyone is established, then your retired life. And retired life is a life of spiritual growth, a life of, in fact, all these three stages are meant to be stages of karma yoga. As a student, you can be a karma yogi. In fact, how perfect it is for a karma yogi student. A karma yogi knows that he or she, they can write an exam paper and they have no control over the results. It's so true. So that student can certainly be a karma yogi. The householder can certainly be a pakka karma yogi. The retired person, fully engaged in spiritual growth, can be a karma yogi. So these three stages of karma yoga prepare you for sannyasa, the fourth stage. Now, there is a convention which is called bala sannyasa. Bala sannyasa means taking to a life of sannyasa when you're still young. And Sri Krishna here has something to say about it. He says it is dukkham aptum. It is difficult to take to life as a sannyasi when you're still young. And I'll share with you, when I was living in Rishikesh, there was a nearby ashram known as the Kailasa Ashram. And they would accept young people initially as brahmacharis, and then they would later be ordained as sannyasi. I met several of them. I don't speak Hindi very well, so communication was a little bit difficult. But I came to know several of them well enough to know that some of them were ambivalent about spiritual life. So consider this. When you're really young, imagine someone who's really young but intensely attracted to spiritual life. So intensely attracted to spiritual life, young people can be impulsive. So impulsively, they leave their homes, often without parental permission. They go to this Kailasa ashram. They're accepted into the program. And this young person has made this very huge, big decision in life to renounce worldly activities and focus exclusively on spiritual life. The problem is they don't know exactly what they've given up. And for some of them, that hangs over their minds, that colors their thinking. And some of them continue to have this doubt, did I really do the right thing? Because they don't know what they've given up. And I'll be very frank with you, this especially applies to sex. They haven't been sexually active, they've given it, and they have no idea what it's about, and so it bothers quite a bit. And I talk to them about this. The point I'm making is that if you take sannyasa, there is a provision for bala sannyasa, but it's difficult, Sri Krishna says. It is dukkham optum. It is difficult if you do it without having first practiced karma yoga. But if you follow this chaturashrama system and you've lived out a fairly conventional life, then when you renounce it, you know what you're renouncing. And you renounce it with the idea that, what is the expression? Been there, done that. Perfect. Which means there's no strong pull towards whatever you're renouncing. So to practice karma yoga first in these three stages of life, and then finally to take sannyasa, according to Sri Krishna, that is preferable. He says to take sannyasa without first practicing karma yoga, he says dukkham optum. There's a second way of interpreting this verse. If we take the fifth meaning of sannyasa, and that is that sannyasa, in the sense of discovering your true nature as pure consciousness, not engaged in any action, how will you gain that spiritual wisdom if you are not prepared through the practice of karma yoga? We've discussed this so much in chapters 3 and 4, and that is karma yoga is a crucial preparatory practice without which gaining enlightenment, jnanam, atma jnanam, self-knowledge, is extremely difficult. So with that meaning too, we get that Sri Krishna says that, where am I? Yeah. So that yat sankhya prapyate sthanam, that enlightenment, this is the second meaning, the enlightenment that the monks reach, tat yogayat, sannyasas tu mahabahu dukkham aptum ayogataha, that sannyasa in a sense of enlightenment, that sannyasa in a sense of recognizing your true nature as being a non-agent of action, pure consciousness, that recognition, enlightenment, is very difficult without first having practiced karma yoga. So he concludes here, yoga yuktaha munihi. Muni here means a wise person. Has other meanings in other contexts. Here it means a wise person. Munihi, a sage, a wise person who is yoga yuktaha, who has matured through the practice of karma yoga. That wise person who has practiced karma yoga, that person adhigacchati, at the end of the verse, gains, going back up, brahma. Reaches would be better. Adhigacchati reaches brahma. That person who has been thoroughly prepared through the practice of karma yoga, adhigacchati, reaches brahman, absolute reality, absolute truth, and reaches brahman nachirena, quickly. And we'll just end with this comment, and that is, if you are not, people ask the question, when will I get enlightened? How to answer that question? There are several ways. Here's one way to answer that question. And the answer is, if you are not practicing karma yoga, if you are not a pakka karma yogi, as we've been using the expression, if you are not, then when will you reach enlightenment? The answer is not in this lifetime. That's an honest answer. On the other hand, if you are a pakka karma yogi, when will you reach enlightenment? Sri Krishna says, nachirena, soon. How soon? We can't answer that. But Sri Krishna says, soon. Okay. I'll remind you, we'll finish our class here. I'll remind you that tomorrow we have a satsang question-answer session at 6 p.m. indoors. Please come and join us. We'll conclude with a prayer and continue next week. Oh, welcome to our prayers at the altar. To get used to our new arrangement here. Om Gananahan Twa Ganapatigam Vamahe Kavinga Vinam Upmashravastamam Jeshtarajam Brahmanam Brahmanas Patahana Shrenvan Utubesida Sadhanam Om Ganapataye Namaha Ishvaro Guru Ratmeti Murti Bheda Vibhagine Vyoma Vadvyapta Dehaya Dakshina Murtaye Namaha Vasudeva Sutam Devam Kamsachanuramardhanam Devaki Paramanandam Krishnam Vande Jagadgurum Om Sarve Bhavantu Sukhinaha Sarve Santu Niramayaha Sarve Bhadrani Pashyantu Ma Kashchid Dukha Bhag Bhavet Asatoma Sadgamaya Tamasoma Jyotirgamaya Mrityorma Hamratangamaya Om Shanti 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 Om Tat Sat.